You know, I'm a great believer that everybody can do something. Are you a believer in that? The issue is whether you want to do something. And in our All Rise event, you know, we'll never grow as a church if we don't rise and do work. I said, we'll never grow. I'm concerned that no one's been saved in the last year. So should you. As much as I love your faces, I'd like to see some additions. Amen. And we also have to be conscious that people need Christ. Never lose the scent of lost sheep or lost people. We must always. That will make our church uncomfortable. That will make our church uncomfortable. Ladies, you can't leave your bags. You can't leave your phones around. And it'll take one of you to leave something to get it lifted before you realize that we've been telling you when people come in the door, you can't act as you used to do because they've not changed yet. This is them coming into our environment. But you must open up your hearts and say, okay, you know, we're not conservative. Don't mean politically now. We have to adapt and change. And this is one of our attempts to try and build a bridge. Put an olive branch out. Amen? This is our attempt. So when everybody's in this house, everybody can do something. We're not a big crowd, so everybody can do something. So that's all we're asking, to do something. Whatever you're asked, just do it. Let's get the job done. And let's see this event become, well, it's not an event, this outreach become successful. Amen? Whether people turn up or not. You know why? Because God's watching us. God's watching us. And anyway, that's not what I've come to say, but that's what I've stood and said. I'm a great believer in human potential. Are you? I'm a great believer in human potential, and I'm a great believer in God-given potential. Yeah? But I know what God has put into mankind does not measure up to what God can give to mankind. There's a level that you don't have there's a level that you have in your natural humanity that is good up to a point. But then there is that which God gives us, which is a portion needed to get the job done. Amen? If you can do everything on natural ability, then you will become a self-made person. I realized a long time ago that I don't have all that it takes. I've realized that even now I don't have what it takes to do an awful lot of things that God's called me to do. But guess what? It keeps me relying and calling out for the grace. If I can do everything that God's called me to do, then why do I need to trust God? There always has to be a shortfall. Always. Because that's what keeps us on our knees and that's what keeps us trusting God. If you could do everything that God's asked you to do without extra grace, without the mercy, without the anointing of God, then it's not God that called you. It must be so great that you need to rely on God. And I've hit that phase in my ministry where I realize there's more I don't have than I do have. And it's a humbling experience. I have a lot of experience, but there's more experience I don't have than I do have. And a wise man knows he doesn't know everything. Only a fool thinks he knows everything. And I'm not a fool. I've realized a long time just how much I don't have. And I've realized just how much you don't have. But I've realized how much he has. And he's able to supply what we lack. Amen? Man on his best day still has limitations. On his best day. With the wind behind your back, the sun in the sky, you still have limitations. But in God, there's no limitations. Amen? I believe God-given potential means there is a giver. There is a primary source who supplies what you don't have, what you couldn't have. There's a primary source over my life and over your life. And that primary source needs to be acknowledged. And he needs to be thanked and worshipped and submitted. What you've been given in God needs to be submitted to God and to authorities on the ground. Because that's how we learn to follow. That's how we learn to submit to authorities on the ground. If you don't submit to anything other than your own thoughts and your own will, then you are not under authority. You see, the amazing thing about authority is this, and free will is, when I choose to put my will under somebody else's will, then I realize how much authority I've been given. It's only when I choose to put something that I've been given under somebody else, I realize how much authority I've been given. That's power, when you can submit it. Jesus submitted himself to his Father's will, knowing that the Father had given him all authority. So you and I are no different. Amen? I want to read you something here by a lady called Gloria Steinem. She's an American feminist and a political activist. And she said, this is what she said. She said this in the 90s. By the year 2000, we will, she says, I hope, we will raise our children to believe in human potential, not God. That's what she said. By the year 2000, well, darling, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're massively wrong. I hope to raise our children to believe in human potential, not God. Because the moment you say God-given potential, you have to acknowledge a primary source. And this is what she's trying to say. She's trying to cut out the primary source and say human potential's enough to get the job done. It's not. Thank God for human potential. And you have to keep developing your human potential. And you have to keep on developing your God potential. It's not God's job to develop your God potential. It's you walking with him. And working with him. So you may disagree in this statement I'm going to make, and that's fine, it's free. You didn't pay for it. But I've never bought into this idea, like I say, you may disagree, that you can be anything you want to be. It's never really sat with me, that thought. I may be wrong. I don't buy into that thought. If you just put your mind to something, you can do it. Like I say, you may disagree. I know in some aspects of life, if you put your mind to it, you can do amazing things. And if you work hard, you can do amazing things. So it's truth in part. But I don't believe it's the total truth for me. I don't believe you can be anything that you just want to be. No, I'm not having that. And if you believe that, it's fine. It's saying, well, let's not fall out over that, but that's just my opinion. It's not, you know, when Paul says, I say this, not the Lord. Tony says this, not the Lord. And as a child growing up, you know, I think, I should say, as children are growing up, I think we need to ask children, stop asking children what they want to be and start maybe changing the question a little bit and saying, what kind of person would you like to become? Rather than just focusing on everything on a task, develop the character from an early age. And maybe the character will, as character's forming, it'll tell you where really the gifting may be. And we put people in places where, because there's no character, the gifting can't keep them. And we wonder why kids are falling over. Because we've educated them, but we haven't got the character in them. So they can't maintain what they've got. But you can be anything you want to be. And I think we have to rethink this through. Our church cannot be anything it wants to be. Our church has to be what God's calling us to be and to do. Amen? If that's God, tell him. I'll get back to him later. I guess the key to being what you want to be and what you want to do and all that, I think a lot of things are down to opportunity. Not everybody's got the same opportunity. Not everyone has got money to education. Not everyone is raised in a stable environment. Not everyone's got access to the same level of education. and personal development. But do you know what? Potential is common in all man. Potential is common in every one of us. And you know, if you want to see untapped potential, go to the graveyard. Every graveyard is filled with people who didn't reach their full potential for God or for themselves. And some did. And we remember those. But the graveyard is full of people with who never managed to discover their full potential. I realized as a kid growing up, I was never going to be no Colin Bell, Francis Lee, Mike Summerby. For some of you who don't know that, they were my boyhood heroes who used to wear blue shirts. Because everywhere, you know, playing football in the street. Yeah, do you remember those days, boys, when we played football in the street? And we'd take a top off and they were the goals. And your team would say, your team was in skins. That means you couldn't play with your top on. That's how we knew you were the opposition. And football was real in the street. It was Wembley. But I realised, this boy is not bound for Wembley. Not as a footballer, only as a supporter. And that took me quite a long years to get there. Now it's like my second home. I realised I could not draw. I still can't draw. Sam will testify that. We played a game one Christmas. My drawing is absolutely horrendous. I knew my future didn't lie in drawing. I knew my future didn't lie in acting. I knew my future didn't lie in singing. But I knew I had potential. I knew I didn't like school. I knew I hated sixth form college. And I knew there was no way in my life I was ever going to go to university. So with those options closed, I could be anything I wanted to be. But how difficult is it for me to be all that I want to be when I don't like school and I don't like education and I didn't like listening? Kind of, there's going to be an obstacle somewhere down the line. Do you not think? But I'm born full of potential. I had a major discovery in my life when I was 17. And it was, I discovered my learning style. I realized I was useless sitting down, someone teaching me, having to work, write things down. But I learned best when someone came alongside me and let me touch things and play with things. And break them. And pull them apart. And I realized that my potential was tactile. If I can get my hands on something, I think I might stand a chance. I think my potential might come out. We all have a different learning style. Now, years later, I've had to come back full circle. You have to listen. You have to have education. You have to go to school. Those things you can't bypass. But they weren't the limiting factors. I could still make it, but I would still have to come back to them. My mum and dad didn't want me to come back. They wanted me to start that way, and I think that's a good idea. And somebody came alongside me, and my first job was, I was a reupholster. You're thinking, where are you going this morning? Stay with me. My first job was a reupholsterer, and they give me a gun. That pleased me immensely. I had something in my hands, and I could tack, tack, tack. I was doing furniture, I was making three-piece suites. And this old fella came along me every day, and he used to teach me and challenge me the capitals of the world, the currencies of the world, the presidents of the world. And I had an education right inside the factory. And I thought, this old guy teaching me while I'm tactile, where was you when I was at school? I could have done with you in school. You was good. And guess what he was called? Tony. Tony taught Tony. But I wasn't self-taught. I was taught by Tony. Tony schooled me. Tony mentored me. And guess what? I got paid for it. And he enjoyed it. My potential was always there, but it was undiscovered. My potential lay in the bottom of my perceived failure. When I left school, I thought I was a failure. My thinking, believed I was a failure. My potential was hidden. My personal experiences of being affirmed and valued wasn't there. So I had this negative expression of myself. I'm thick, I can't do it. Until Tony came along and showed me that. Use your hands, son. We'll start with your brain later. We'll get to the brain later, but let's use your hands first. And then when you find something you love doing, your brain will follow. Have you noticed that? Your brain follows when you find something you like doing. And now you get curious about something, now you learn voluntarily. And you throw yourself into it, rather than being sat there and forced to learn something you don't like. And if you can touch something that you love and do something you love, your acceleration of learning will be massive. And I discovered that give me something that I like doing and I'll learn a lot faster. And I did. You thinking, where's this going? Okay, see this thing here? Edna, would you, since you're the best looking in here and you're the first one, can I use you as an illustration? No, I don't want you to hold that tape measure in your hand. And I want you, if you can, to realistically measure your potential. Go on, have a go. See what you think. It's up to you. So, okay, she stopped there. So far. No, I'm going to go back. It's 4 foot. She was 4'5". Stand still. 4'5", we'll call it there. Stop it there. Right. 4'5", don't touch it. Do you believe she's bigger than that? It's funny that she measured her own size. Now, sit down a minute. I'll call you back in a minute. 4'5", it seems so small. That's here before you is Edna's potential. But I think she's got more potential than that, don't you? Now, I caught her off guard by asking her that question, and I knew I would catch her off guard. So it's a setup, don't worry. It's a setup. But I want to make a point here. All it took was for her to be measured. She measured herself. And she couldn't give us a definitive answer as to her own potential. Now, that's quite alarming. I find that quite alarming. Now, let me ask you again. Let's come back. Can you tell those people how much of your potential do you think you've used? Can you measure it for us?
Maybe 50%.
Well, it's your answer. It's your answer. There's no right answer here. It's just your answer. Whatever answer you think. Go on.
Maybe 50%.
50%. Okay, she says 50%. Okay, stay there. Got some more questions to ask you. In fact, hold the tape measure. Can you measure how much you've wasted then? No, she can't. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I'm just using... I'm not trying to embarrass you. I could ask anyone the same question and they would be back to the same answers. Except me, because I've got smart answers, because I'm setting the questions. Can you measure how much is still untapped and undiscovered? You can't. Okay. Using that tape measure again now, can you measure me the size of your destiny? Go and have a go. We need to get you some longer arms, don't we?
Yeah.
So, okay, you're going to stop there again. So that's going to bring us back to what you measured before. Why? Because your arms are only so long.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe we have a problem here. Maybe the problem is the way she measures. The way she measures is the way she sees. The way we all measure our potential is by the way we see it. Thanks, Edna. Thank you. Every one of us has got one of these built into our lives. Everyone. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Everyone has a tape measure inside their life. It's called potential and destiny. Now, everyone tells me they've got a wonderful destiny, but they can't measure it. Very quiet in this church this morning. Are we hitting home run here? Not many people are able to measure their own potential. Do you know why? Because the simple truth is, we don't always see it in ourselves. We need others to come alongside us and show us and encourage us and affirm into us what we ourselves can't see. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has got for us. Right? Now the problem is, if somebody can't come alongside you, how will you ever know your potential? Good point, Pastor. Someone's got to be able to come along and say, I think this is underused. I think your potential is far greater than your capacity right now, but there's more in you. And God says, can I go deeper? Can I go wider? Can I go higher with your life? Are you all with me? Now, this is a very visual illustration I felt the Lord gave me a couple of weeks back. Go and measure the temple. This is the temple. Go and measure the altar. Go and measure the worshippers. It's all got potential. It's all got potential. And I don't care how old you are. If you've got... Now, let me give you an illustration of that. Now, can I use you again? I want you to take hold of this end now. We're going to change the rules. I want you to hold that and start walking. Now, watch this. Watch this. Watch this before you go. Oh, she's like a coil. She's ready to go. This is destiny. Keep walking. Now, hang on, stop. You've now reached your limit. Now, we already said that. She's more than she's become. Yeah. Right, so let me take the limitations off. Yeah. Start walking. Oh, Edna, you're going far, far beyond what you could ever see or imagine. Look at your life now, girl. Look, she's still going. Now we've come. This was a tape measure because it's got a natural end. But in God, there is no end. Look how far she's gone. Now let go for a minute. Just let go. And get rid of it. It's locked now. Oh, here we go. Stay there. Here's the thing. There was a primary source here. She realized how far she could go when she kept close and hold of the primary source. Now, if she's walking and she turns around and she realizes that she's kind of limited in her potential, she may turn around and realize that she's no longer got hold of the primary source in her life. And when she turns round, come right back. She comes right back to the primary source. Right? And she takes hold of it again. Stop. She comes back to the altar. She acknowledges where she went wrong. And God says, get hold of it again and go again. She keeps going again. Go on. But this time, I walk with her. I walk with her. And you see, she's never out of measure. She's always in a measure. She's always in a potential. Thank you. She's always in her potential. Why? Because she kept hold of the primary source. Thank you, Edna. Can you see that? God is trying to give you a measure. For some of you, have never been valued and affirmed in your abilities and your potential. Others have. And then the trouble is, we can believe in our own press report. We get so good at something that we let go, just like Edna let go of that tape measure. And we get ahead of ourselves and realize that we're no longer connected because of my desire. Now the problem is this, in the church today, we have people that carry more desire than they carry the word of God. Desire won't get the job done. Desire won't get the job done. God, as the maker of heaven and earth, supplies you with the potential. That potential is called seed. Where does seed? Let's give seed another word. Let's call it the Word of God. The Word of God is the material you need for your miracle. The Word of God is the material you need for your miracle. When this man at the front here and his wife were seeking a child, the seed he thought he needed was not the seed God gave him. First of all, before he needed a seed that would mate with his wife, he needed word. Word was the priority he needed, him and Emma needed. Once the word came to them, the act was not the problem. Then believing in the word and trusting the word, and them having to keep walking with that measure. God supplied him and Emma with a measure of word, seed. Now some of you have, you know, believe you've got great destinies, but without word, you don't get there. Word is the seed, the measure that God gives to you, and that measure has to be believed in, stood upon, and prayed into. God gives us word. Every ounce, I should say, every measurement, every yard, every inch, every millimeter on this measurement measures something. So if I took that and put that into Parliament, let's have a look at your faith level right now. Your faith level is dependent upon the word that's gone in. Yeah. And if I measured every one of us, we'd all have different fuel measurements of how much word and faith we've got inside us. But God's looking for faith. God's going to do the dipstick challenge. The dipstick challenge. Boy, will he find some dipsticks. He'll put the measurement in and he'll say, this one's lacking. This one is empty. This one's got more. This one is only half full. This one, nearly full. She just needs longer arms. Isaiah 55. You're thinking, oh, now he's going to open his Bible. I've been talking Bible since I started. Before we come to the scripture, let me say this to you. We think in our usefulness to God and society, if our usefulness to God and to our society, we must understand, watch this, seed, measurement, and value. Seed. Seed has a measure. And this measure has a value. If you don't see your seed as having a measure and a value, you'll trample on it every time. Seed is given in a measure, and the measure has a value. It's not easy to get heaven's seed for greatness. It's not. Because it's valuable. It's valuable. God doesn't waste seed. Doesn't waste seed. Your seed is given in a measure, and that measure has a value. Hello? It has a value. Isaiah 55, let me show you a principle here. Isaiah 55, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven. So rain and snow fall in a measure. Right now it's raining outside, surprise, surprise. And it's raining in a measure. Yes? We've had a week of glorious sunshine and it came in a measure. We could measure the heat. 40 degrees. Woohoo! And do not, so as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So what he's saying here, first God uses the analogy of rain and snow and how together, when they fall in a measure. And how many of you know that this rain that falls is valuable? We need rain. Because rain creates an old, you know, its own ecosystem. As rain falls, it causes the seeds on the ground to bud and to flourish, which creates another cycle. Amen? And it brings forth seed. And that seed then produces a measure. And that measure then creates a harvest. And that harvest then, when it's taken into the supermarkets, has a value. Have you noticed the value of food has gone up? Right. So everything has a value. Seed has a measure, and a measure has a value. You've got to see what God gives and how it then transitions. Pick up verse 11. Verse 11. Sow my word. So he's first used the analogy of the heavens, the physical elements, the rain and the snow, and he uses how it goes to the falls to the ground. It produces, it creates a harvest that sustains man, and he uses that as a natural analogy. And then he says, "Sow my word." So he now brings a spiritual principle to show us the spiritual principle does exactly the same thing. It's seed. So that my word that goes out from my mouth. So the primary source. God speaks as the primary source. Yes, he's the one holding that. And then he says to Edna, just get the end of that if you want for me, Edna, just for a second. I'm going to call you to tear down, build up. You're going to be a prophet to the nations. Right? And she goes, me, my arms can only measure four foot five. He says, I've measured you in the spirit and you're far greater than your size. Amen. Why? Because the word potential that's in you is greater than the human potential. Amen. Can you let go? So she's already grown because of the word that's come. It's give her a destiny. Now she's got to bring her potential in line with her destiny. Amen. The two must synchronize. You'll never reach your destiny, fulfill your destiny, if your potential is not developed. It is critical to your destiny. And God must speak into your heart to show you your destiny and to confirm your potential. Does that make sense? God must speak. Now, so that my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return empty. Right, why don't it return empty? Because I'm expecting, I've given you a sufficient measure that will bring a return. Yeah? And it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So the maker, the manufacturer who installs the seed knows what the seed is capable of. So when he speaks in a measure. Now the problem is, you and I, from the measure, we don't see the value. There's where it all goes wrong. We sit and we hear, and we go home and we forget. We do nothing with it. We've trampled the seed. Or we've ate the seed for today's bread. And there's no harvest. Because we didn't do anything with the seed other than consume it and eat it in the same day. No one eats a full loaf of bread in one day. Unless you're greedy. Carol and I buy a loaf of bread. It can last us three days. Now, if you've got a big family, I know you're going to use more bread. But no one person eats a full loaf of bread in a day. Is that fair to say? And if you do, get to the doctors. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. So is my word that comes out from my mouth. He's making it very clear that he's the primary source. And it will not return empty to me empty. It won't return back to me empty. Why? Because I don't sow stupidly. I don't sow blindly. I sow intelligently. It won't return back to me, but it will accomplish. See the assurance and the certainty that God has about his own word? It will produce a harvest. Right, so therefore then, the question is, where can he speak his word and who can he speak it to? If he's looking for a harvest, I'm going to say something to you that can offend you. There are some things God can't speak to you and I. Because he knows he won't return, he won't yield a return. So why would he waste it? Well, because he loves me, but he's not wasteful neither. God will speak to us according to our response and to our potential. And he'll speak to us according to his love. But there are some things God, you and God will never speak about. Why? Because your commitment level's not there and your value level of the word is not there to all of us. To all of us. There are some questions I ask God and never get any answers. Have you found that? It's almost like security level, Tony, you haven't got yet. You have not shown me that you can be faithful in this level. Don't start talking to me about that level. Let's talk at this level. Okay, Lord. And when I think you can handle it, Tony, then we'll give you an upgrade and we'll talk about mysteries. Okay? So is my word. Let me show you the word starts as a seed. The eternal word became the written word. The eternal word became the written word. So what was spoken and what was always there had to be written. This is how it becomes a seed. Watch. The eternal word has to become the written word. Now I know, in that written word, you can read it and get nothing from it. And other days, you read it and it overwhelms you. Right. There are some days the heavens are open. Your heart is open and God starts speaking to you. And other days you're thinking, God, where are you? True? The eternal word became the written word. The written word became the spoken word. The written word became the spoken word. This is how it's becoming a seed. When it's just written, this is the transition the word had to get to become a seed that can be planted in the hearts of God's people. So the eternal word became the written word. The written word became the spoken word. Now watch this. The spoken word has to become the living word. The living word. And the living word must become flesh and dwell amongst you. So it has to go from the eternal to the written to the spoken to the living, so it dwells inside you. It dwells inside you. So how can you partake of this? You can partake through the spirit dimension. You can partake of this seed by the written word. You can partake of this word, of this seed, through the spoken word. How does faith come? Comes by hearing. So what you hear there is a measure being given to you. Are you getting this? There's a measure that comes to you. And as you read that word and it comes into and it speaks off the paper and it hits your heart, there's another, now there's the measure just gone in. There's a measure just gone in. Now, when the word, when the living word becomes flesh, you now have the creative power. You now have the creative power of God. You can speak and things happen. You have the authority of God. You have the creative power of God to speak, to lay hands on the sick, to cast the devil out. You have the creative power of God to speak things into being with your measure. What do you do with your measure and how you use your measure is all dependent upon how you respond to the written word and the spoken word. Hello? Let me say again. If you're smart, you'll get hold of this. The word of God is the material you need for your miracle. The word of God is the material you and I need for our miracle. So whatever miracle you're seeking God for, you need the word. It starts with the word. And the word is a measure, and the measure has a value. Are you seeing this? So Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? He's asking us a question. The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. So in other words, the word of God that's being proclaimed is transferred from someone's mouth into someone's heart. Are you getting this? Someone has to speak it so somebody else can receive it. This is why we are reaching out to our community. Somebody has to demonstrate it for somebody to receive it. Somebody has to action it. They, you know, most days I come out and I see a group of alcoholics and literally they're on our doorstep. And they've got potential. And they've never been affirmed. And it's our job to demonstrate it and speak it to them so it can go in. And you've got to keep on speaking it because there's such a barrenness and emptiness inside people that you've got to keep speaking it and sowing the measure. Every time you pray, you're sowing a measure. Are you with me? But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, now this is the way we create harvest. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus and Lord and believe in your heart and God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now there's the result. That's the value. There was a harvest that got produced in you. It was salvation. And like I say, there's, when you look at the church and you look across the church globally, a lot of people have desire and potential, but they lack the word. They lack the word. So, the word is the material you need for your miracle. The word is the material you need for your miracle. So whatever you're praying for, believing for, standing against, standing for, trusting God with, without the word, you have no seed, no measure to resist, to take a step forward. And what you'll end up doing is you're like, where's he gone? Edna. She could only go that far. But guess what? What happens if that's not far enough? She's got desire. She's got potential. But she needs more. She needs to see there's more. And she needs to see by faith that though I'm limited in my humanity, in my capacity, in my intelligence, God Almighty, you can go far above and beyond. Amen. If I trust. And God says, I have a way of getting ahead of the curve. Amen. I can get ahead of the curve. I know ways that you would never know. I have doors that you can step through that would shorten the time. And you don't need your physical, you know, don't worry about that. That's not your limitation. I gave you those arms. You're the size you are. But guess what? In me, I can take you places your eyes have never seen. And your ears have never heard. And your heart has never captured. But now, if I speak those things to you, now will you hold on to them? Woo! So, destiny and potential have to be measured. They have to come together. They have to synchronize. Your potential has to come in line with the size of your destiny. Now, the word is the miracle you need for your miracle, I should say. The word is the material, sorry, you need for your miracle. This morning, I am sowing to you a measure. Because I'm the one speaking it. From the Lord, I have received a measure. Now, out of my measure, I'm giving you access to what's in my barn. Does that make sense? Not better. This is just my role. If I'm a shepherd and I'm primary a feeder of the flock, then I must carry seed that you may not have. Okay? Doesn't make me greater. It doesn't make me better. It just means I must carry something you don't have. You've got things I don't have. Now, so therefore, the sower, everyone say the sower, is responsible for the quality of the seed. The sower is responsible for the quality of the seed. Because what I sow, if my quality is insufficient and it's not good, and you eat it, what's it going to do? The quality of the seed. The sower is responsible for the quality of the seed. The seed is the material you need for your miracle. The sower is responsible for the quality of the seed. Number two, the receiver is responsible for the quality of the soil. The receiver is now responsible for the quality of the soil. I'm responsible for the quality of the seed. You as the receiver is now responsible for the quality of the soil. That's your role, your responsibility. I'm like the farmer in the parable who sows his seed. Some will fall on the stony ground. People receive it with joy, and yet the worries of life, it gets choked. Others go and produce something with it. Why do they go and produce? Because they realize there's a measure and it has a value to it. And they see the value, see the measure, plant it, water it, harvest it, and enjoy it. The receiver is responsible for the quality of the soil. The sower is responsible for the quality of the word. That's the seed. I'm responsible for the quality of the word. I must make sure that I only preach the gospel. Not my opinions. I gave you my opinion before. But now we're on what the word says. The hearer is responsible for the quality of their heart. The hearer is responsible for the quality of their heart. Your heart is your soil. And it'll determine what you do with God's seed. I have to be careful that my own heart does not become corrupt, because out of my corrupt heart I will sow corrupt seeds. Is that true? Isaiah 50, verse 4. Are you still with me? The sovereign Lord, there's the primary source, has given me an instructed tongue. Stop. That's potential. You've got a mouth. A mouth is potential. But let me add another dimension to it. Is it an instructed one? Is it an instructed tongue? Or is it just a blab mouth? Is it just an opinionated one? The Lord has given me an instructed tongue. That's different. Watch this. To know the word. The Lord has given me an instructed tongue. Everyone's got a tongue, but not everyone has got an instructed one to know the word. The one who has an instructed tongue is the one who understands seed, measure, and value. What does this word do? It sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. That's grace. Watch this. To listen. Like one being taught. That's why it's an instructed tongue, because it listens. Do you have that tongue inside of you? Do you have an instructed tongue that God can speak to you, so when you wake up, it can sustain the weary? What else does he say? It sustains the weary morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. I take the posture of a student. I take the posture. See, I'm back at school. I've come full circle. I've got to listen. And when I listen, I've got to then process. And then I've got to make choices. And then action will then be apportioned to what God has spoken. Because to sustain the weary, I've got to go and do something. And first of all, sustain yourself. Some of you don't have a clue how to sustain yourself. And we've been talking about not letting the ship go down. And the reason why your ship goes down, because you don't know how to sustain yourself. You cannot sustain others if you cannot sustain yourself. The first act of leadership is lead yourself. So, Revelation chapter 2. So here we go. We're coming down now. Wheels are down. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. You've heard it many, many times. So therefore, you can become so dismissive of it. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So you didn't even get it then. Well, Pastor, how do you know we didn't get it? I know you didn't get it. He was an ear. What is he saying here? What is he saying? I'm about to say something, and if you don't put weight and measure and value on it, you'll miss what I'm about to say. Yeah. He was an ear. In other words, do you have you have potential, but do you have the capacity to hear me? I'm about to speak to the churches. Now, I want you to underline that word, churches. And then he says, to him who overcomes. So the hearer doesn't always hear, and the receiver does not always overcome. Let me say that again. The hearer doesn't always hear. The receiver doesn't always overcome. Why? I'm glad you asked. I'm about to tell you. The moment God speaks, he sows a measure. Do we understand that? Right. So what is your measure this morning? There is inner if there's inner value and honor for what is being spoken, a measure will be measured. Because God won't waste. Remember, he was an ear, let him hear. That means some won't. And some don't. To him who overcomes, that means some won't overcome. And some will. Why will they overcome? Because they hear. They hear. But what do they hear is the key thing. Watch this. If there is honor, and the soil of your heart is good, when the word is spoken, it creates a frequency. It creates a distinct frequency that you can then transmit to people and people can receive on. Because not everyone's hearing it. Some are. You hear me audibly. But when we say here, we mean understanding and seeing what God is proclaiming. Now, when God speaks, you need to understand this. I, as a pastor, came with my barn this morning to sow my seed. Yeah. Right? Hopefully, you've got seed in your barn. So I can add to what's already there. But that's not always the case with everyone. Some people, it's a brand new barn. You're sowing, you're the first installment. So, he who has an ear, hear what God is speaking to the churches. In other words, there is a portion for you and me that God wants to give to you. Are you ready? But that portion, he's giving to us corporately. He who has an ear, hear what God is saying to the churches. God's desire, first and foremost, is to feed his church, not you as an individual. The churches, he speaks. The churches, that's what he's coming back for. The churches. Now you think, well, what about me? If you're the church, then you're included. But just because you come to church doesn't make you the church. So God speaks to us corporately first. Why does he speak to us corporately first? Now, I'm not talking about you in your private walk now with God. God will speak to you all day long if you keep talking to him. I'm talking about now as a church, as we assemble together. This does not affect your private walk with God. But what I'm saying here is corporately. God speaks to the churches first because he has a message to speak to the church. Because that is the collective gathering of people. So out of one man's portion, he feeds many. You seeing this? Now, if God can speak to us, God can speak to you. God, out of God speaking to us, it's your job to tune into him so he can speak. Out of speaking to us, he speaks to you. Do you see this? He's got to speak to us in order to speak to you. It can't just be about you. It's got to be about us. Your destiny, we can't stop for your destiny. The destiny, God speaks to the house because there's a corporate destiny. And out of that destiny, God speaks to you. You get your portion from us. You must understand how God works. Now, when you're in your private time with God, you are an individual approaching God. God isn't speaking to the corporate us, he's speaking to you. Because you're the one talking to him. But when we all gather together, God speaks to the church. God speaks to the church. Do you understand that? You were given ears. You were given two ears. Why was you given two ears? You were given one ear so you could audibly hear, and you were given the other ear so you could receive. Now, the trouble is, you must synchronize those two together. Some of you will only hear what I'm naturally saying this morning, but not pick up the frequency of what God is trying to emphasize in your spirit this morning. God is speaking to us as a church. You must now, the quality of the soil is your department. Does that make sense? So, Isaiah 61. Instead, in verse 7, instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. Well, you like that word? Yeah, I thought you might. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, and so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Now, let me show you what that means. When God speaks to us and you get behind the corporate us, if you champion the corporate us, God will always speak to you. I kid not. If you want your portion, then join your strength to the corporate. I guarantee, if you ignore the corporate and you think it's just you and Jesus, you will only ever live off the scraps. God speaks to the church. The church is his primary voice here, because the church is the vehicle on the ground. So you're in that church, hopefully. So when God speaks to us, you get your portion out of it. So I speak out of my double portion. Why? Let's call myself a firstborn son here. I know we're all firstborn sons, but me as the pastor, I've been seeking God, so God gives me a word for you, so I've got the double portion. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right. So out of my double portion, I give you a portion. True? Now, your hunger and desire for the word will determine what measure you can receive. You getting this? Your hunger and desire for the word will determine how much you can take into your own life. So out of my double portion, I give you a portion. And this is what it says. And my people will receive a double portion. You receive a double portion out of a double portion. Your double portion is your portion. Because I'm serving from a double portion. Ah, you're not getting this. Dear me. Don't minimize the measure. You're getting a double portion. And guess what? He says, this double portion, instead of disgrace, it brings you a rich inheritance. It brings you into a rich inheritance. It opens doors. It opens your eyes. It untaps your potential. It unlocks your potential. This is why you need to feed from a double portion. And guess what it does then? It gives you a double portion in your land. Where's your land? Right here. God gives you a double portion based on what's being portioned. That's why he says, listen, pay attention. Pay attention. That's why he's saying. So, last scripture, Ezekiel 4:2. Last scripture. Yeah, I know. Last scripture. The word is the material for your miracle. The word is the material you need for your miracle. The word is the material you need for your miracle. The word is the material you need for your miracle. The word is the material you need for your miracle. I say again, the word is the material you need for your miracle. The word is the material we need for our miracle. And God supplied the word. God sent his word and healed their diseases. Right, Ezekiel chapter 4, I said it's the last scripture, and it's right. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. And Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake. And he ran from it, I don't blame him. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it up. And Moses said, not lightly. So Moses reached out his hand. The snake he ran away from, he's now coming back to. Okay? What did I say? Oh, sorry, Exodus. Sorry, I thought I said Ezekiel. Exodus. Well, that's good that you're listening. Sorry. Phil's mistake, it's Exodus. It was Phil who told you. The Lord spoke through Phil. Philologus. Exodus 4 verse 2, sorry. Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it onto the ground. And Moses threw it to the ground and became a snake. And he ran from it. And the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and he turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, has appeared to you. So Moses did exactly what the word told him to do, the word being God. Hello? Yes. He reached out over a snake to take a snake, and God's showing him that what I'm speaking to you, son, right now is going to take place. What's going to happen now, son, is you're going to appear before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's going to hear you speak, and they're going to see the wonders that you perform, and they're going to know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent you and has appeared to you. Right? So the word has to speak. The word has to be received, and the word has to be demonstrated so that other people can see that you've been with the word. Some of us try to speak the word and not spend time with him. Oh, hello, did I speak to anyone then? Don't try and represent him if you can't stand before him. Verse 17. But take the staff in your hand so you can perform signs with it. This word must be taken in your hand. Why? The seed, the word is the material you need for your miracle. I discovered my destiny, my potential, when I used my hands. I've come full circle. I discovered there was a destiny in my life when I could use my hands. And these hands have been used for many things. They've been used to serve you. How do I learn and get my experience? By getting my hands on you. And I realized that I learned more by what I can touch, what I can hold, what I can steer, what I can literally affect. I can affect a lot with these hands. And these hands must have word. And if you can take what's in your hand, if you can take what God's given you, and you're prepared to stand and use it, that the material you need for your miracle is the word. Yeah, and God says, Dream Center, how long will you keep writing notes? How long will you listen without doing? How long? How much potential do you have? How much destiny do you have? It's time to measure yourself again by the standards of the word, not by your human potential. Some of you are far greater than your human potential. And you listen to the limitations of your fathers and your mothers. And your employees and your friends. And God said, stand up. Amen. Take the staff in your hand.
Yes, come on.
And live to my standard instead of your standard.
Amen.
There is no person too old in here that cannot still serve. Do not limit your measure. Some of you are young and you think, I don't need this seed. I'm doing well. No, you're not. You eventually will run into a wall and you'll realize that when you hit the wall will only teach you what is lacking and is absent in your life. We come back to this word. Take it by the hand. Handle the word of God responsibly. That's what he told Timothy. He told Timothy, present yourself before the Lord. A workman who is not ashamed. And then he says, a workman who knows how to handle the word of truth.
Yes.
Timothy, your potential's on the line if you can't do those three things. Your destiny's on the line if you can't do those three things. Present yourself is the first thing you will do today. Present yourself. Second, if there's any shame, any reason why you should not be, can stand before the Lord and present yourself, deal with it. Own it. Deal with it. Thirdly, then Lord, morning by morning, teach me. Give me an instructed tongue to sustain the weary. First of all, me. Second, sustain those around me. If I can do those three things, I'm on the path to becoming a living vessel. Let's stand to our feet, if we will. So, Would you like to go and take the walk again? Hearing what you've just heard, this woman's empowered now. She's now taking a whole new measure. She's connected to the source. Anytime she wants to look back, she can see I'm still within range. And if more needs to be measured, more can be measured. More can be measured. And guess what? Today, she'll present herself to me. She'll come right up close. And then she'll take hold of it, she'll receive the word, and she'll go with her measure again. And then she'll keep coming back to me. And this is how it does. And then she'll keep going back again. And that's how our potential gets fulfilled. Amen. Thanks, Edna. Are you ready? Do you know as kids, we used to have growth charts? Do you remember that? Growth charts. Gran or Nana always used to have a growth chart. So when the kids came in, oh, you're getting bigger now. See, if you eat your dinners, this is what you get big. You get big. Can you imagine if God put a growth chart on us? You see, if she measures herself by everybody, the tallest person in here, she feels inferior. But that's not her. That's not what she's doing. Inside is far greater. I can't be all as tall as Ralph or Peter. Those boys are big. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We've all got capacity inside. So I want you now to, if you will, to, if this message has resonated with you, if that illustration has hit you, spoke to you, I want you to stand before the living God right now and say, oh God Almighty, measure the temple again. Measure me according to your standard, according to your word. Oh, Father, I realized, oh God, my potential is untapped. There's more, Lord. There's more, Lord. And I want you to submit to the Lord today, if you will. You're not submitting to me, you're submitting to the Lord. And if it's your case, I want you just to bow down and say, Lord, you can have it. I'm not happy with my measure, oh God. It needs to increase. I've measured myself by my own standards. I've compared myself by myself. I've compared myself to others. Oh God, my standard is so low that I've shortchanged myself in so many ways. If that's you, I want you to just sit down and kneel down wherever you are. And just say, Lord God Almighty, your grace and your mercy to me this morning is you're speaking to me about what I need to do. If that's in your heart this morning, just kneel before the Lord and cry out to him. Say, Lord, increase my measure this morning. Increase my measure. Increase my potential. Reveal to me, oh God, those things I don't know. Oh God, I want more. More of you, oh God. More of you in my heart, oh God. Oh Father, I thirst for you, oh God. I pant for the living water. Your word is the material, oh God, I need for my miracle. And Father, I don't just want to borrow a phrase or a scripture, Lord, I need you. You are the source of my miracle. Oh, resete rianda, che te le manda rianda. The arms of the Father are open wide to receive you this morning. If you're at the altar, there's a measure coming to you this morning. God says, it's my measure. I'm pleased to give you a measure. He who has an ear, hear what the Spirit of God said to the church today. And know that you are first and foremost part of the church. I speak to the church first, and out of, from the church you get your portion. And if God can't speak to a church, it's difficult for the people inside it to get their portion. And this is why the altar must be clean. Those who speak the word must be clean. They must have the lifestyle. They must have the right lifestyle. Oh, Rashatarianda. It's a new season. It's a new season. Go deeper with the word. Go deeper with the word. Sikaramanda. Shitaramamara vakuriyondolobranda. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness. Oh, my Lord. My Lord. Shikarabanda.
Holy God. Holy God.
Holy God. Hurabakarianda. Come on, come on. Just a little more. Just push in a little bit more, Lord. Call out on heaven. Call out to heaven. Oh, Father. My God, my God, my God. Kilibraba shatara mamarianda. Tulamorobosite di baba karianda. Matara baba kiriandorobo shatara makariada sarianda. Oh, Father. Shikarabanda. The scripture tells us that unless a grain of wheat is willing to fall to the ground and die, it remains alone. It'll never produce a harvest. Something has to die in you in order for something to grow. Let your opinions, let your will, let your objections, your frustrations, your sadness and disappointment, let it go. Let it go this morning and embrace a new day. Remember, the quality of the seed is the sower's responsibility, but the quality of the soil is the receiver's responsibility. Let those things die within you this morning. Give them to the Lord. Offer them up. Father, we thank you for the word that has been sown into our hearts this morning. Lord, we hear what the Spirit of God has spoken to the church. And out of that, O God, we're being measured. And Father, I pray for those who are struggling. I pray, O God, that you'll bring the struggle in them to the end. Lord, I pray that you will meet every need in this room. I pray, O God, for every need. And I pray, O God, that the seed is the material for the miracle. And I pray even this week, O God, as these people present themselves to you, that Father, heaven will open for them. And the word of God will begin to feed like never before. That, oh God, just as you've been doing with me, you've been feeding me from your hand. Lord, I've never known a time in my life, oh God, where the word has been so clear to me like it has been in this season. And Lord, I know it's because I've spent time with you. And I associate, oh God, what I do seems to be the reason why I receive. My actions correspond. And Father, I pray, oh God, that give your people this desire to know you, to walk with you, to learn from you. Give them an instructed tongue, a word to sustain the weary, in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a standing ovation. I want you never to forget this. This is a visual illustration. Never forget what you've seen here today and what you've heard. Amen? Lord bless you.